This is an important year for the global soil community. The UN's General Assembly announced 2015 as the International Year of Soils, prompting experts working on the issues to raise awareness of one of the world's most important natural resources. The Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations will lead the International Year. And to move the conversation forward, we are inviting regional soil experts to weigh in on the issues. For Asia and the Pacific region, Eugene Nino is a soils officer for FAO, based at the organization's regional office in Bangkok. Mr. Nino, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Generally speaking, how well preserved are the soils in the region?
In general, the soils in the region varies very much. Particularly the Asian region and the Pacific region is quite different. About 30% of the soils or land resources in the regions are degraded, particularly the South Asia, while East Asia and then the Southeast Asia somehow maintaining its productivity.
Do you find that soil issues are given enough of a priority in the region?
Not at all. In fact, water issues being high priority, while soils been getting little attention. So this International Year of Soil is a really good opportunity to bring these issues into the discussions and awareness raising.
Could you give me an overview of the main issues regarding soil in the region? What are the most important things that need to be highlighted?
Most critical issues in the region, particularly in Asia, is the land area scarcity. I think the global average of land availability per capita is about 0.5, while in Asia, the average is about 0.1 to 0.2 hectare per capita. Particularly in East Asia, I think it's less than 0.1 hectare per capita. Land area is very limited, so intensive land use or cultivation is being practiced. That's causing the severe soil degradation, as well as because of this heavy inputs of chemical fertilizers, the chemical degradation. Soil contamination by heavy metals is also issues in the region. I mean, overall, because of this current cropping system, the returning of crop residues or organic material is rather restricted or very limited. So soil organic matter or soil organic carbon is almost completely depleting. The agricultural economy in Asia is different from probably some other regions, which are actually creating different problems or issues on soil. In other words, it's a pressure. So not only the small-scale farmers, but the large farmers or plantations should be also included in this overall strategy and then policy-making.
I was going to ask you what the main drivers behind these issues are, but that's a pretty extensive laundry list of things. Land use, encroaching urban areas to production and tilling.
Exactly. The Asia, I think the last two decades, are developing very quickly. Urbanization is one of issues.
How do you think the region can improve on these issues?
Well, we need to shift the current conventional system to more sustainable system, which we say that the sustainable intensification, more on the organic-based system, such as conservation agriculture, organic farming, and nutrient management, we call integrated plant nutrient management system.
Are there any examples of case studies or best practices in the region that might be worth mentioning?
Yes, we are promoting the conservation agriculture, which is based on the three principles, which is minimum tillage, less disturbance of a soil, and then also the permanent soil cover, which provides the constant supply of organic matter, which will increase depleted soil organic carbon contents, and then also the rotations, which will diversify the cropping system, and then also agrobiodiversity, which rehabilitate the lost biodiversity in the system. Actually, with the eastern part of Indonesia most susceptible for drought, that's a serious climate impact. The project has been implemented for 2 years, and then we are planning for 2 more years. We are testing this conservation agriculture method, and just seeing this last 2 years in Timor-Leste and eastern part of Indonesia, large number of farmers, by seeing this impact, conv- convinced that this technology can address the soil productivity issues in the same time reducing the risk of drought.
The farmers in these areas, it may be generations of farmers who have lived on this land, wouldn't they have traditional practices already kind of known to them? I mean, aren't their traditional practices useful?
Yes, if I may use the two separate cases, like in Timor-Leste, this traditional system, fully manual and cultivating or tilling the soils, is very labor intensive. So what the farmers in Timor-Leste found from conservation agriculture approach is minimizing their labor because they don't need to till the land, and then also the weeding time is drastically reduced. And then with extra time, they can devote for expanding to the other areas or the other farm activities. In Indonesian case, it's quite different from Timor-Leste, that they have been practicing a very high input farming in lowland, such as the maize productions. They are putting a large amount of chemical fertilizer with heavy tractor tillage to sustain this productivity. But they are very susceptible for drought. Rainy season is only 3 months. And if the rain delays for 2 weeks, the whole season is gone. So by adopting conservation agriculture, the soil physical and the chemical property is improved. So it's resilient to these drought risks. And then in addition, in both countries, the cropping seasons can be extended instead of one crop per season. They can take maybe 1.5 to 2 season extended because of availability of soil moistures, and then also reducing farm labor requirement.
What do you think are the biggest challenges to soil preservation or restoration in the region?
Well, there are several factors. First, in fact, we specifically talk about the soil. We don't have very detailed or updated soil information or data at the national and then the regional level. We've been trying in the national level with this program called Land Degradation Assessment Drylands. Several countries in the region already been exposed and are adopting this system to assess soil status and then the management strategy planning in each country and then in the regional level. The second issue, the low awareness of this critical soil resources status or requirement. And then the other issue be that we are lacking of supporting policy or strategy to promote sustainable soil management at the national and the regional level. Although we are trying to support, to prepare, and then assist some of the technical network already existing in the regions.
What are your concerns if action is not taken?
In the regional perspective, I think the Asia-Pacific region is one of the regions most poor. So demands for the food security is quite serious. So unless we address this critical soil resources problem, it's become much more susceptible for disaster, particularly the drought and then to some extent the floods event.
Mr. Nino, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.